It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, which is back after a hiatus. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
Vishal, we were just talking before we started recording that number one, we are recording on what happens to be the exact day, 8 years on, since we actually formed Soccer Sense and recorded the first ever episode of this podcast. So it's been it's been quite a journey in those 8 years, much like Jordan Henderson's in the Premier League.
Absolutely.
But we are also talking about the fact that we've had, I think, football almost every day of the week relentlessly for the entire season so far. And a certain amount of viewer fatigue is catching up with us, which is kind of surprising because we all always thought we had unlimited appetite for football.
The irony being we still are not missing a game. All this fatigue and we still not missing a game.
So we're still watching it just as diligently as we have been, and we are still dedicated to the cause of separating the wheat of sense from the chaff of all the hot takes that go around in the world of football, which is why we have finally got around to talking about an issue that we deliberately have kept aside because we did not want to get swept up in the current sentiment in terms of what's going on. And that issue, of course, has been Liverpool's defense or lack thereof of the Premiership title. Or to put it another way, Liverpool and their terrible, horrible, no good, very bad season so far, or more specifically, the last couple of months. So it's something that we kind of hinted at when we did our post-title episode, Vishal, and we said that how Liverpool would find it difficult to defend the title. But back in the middle of December, when we were recording an episode, we still were kind of praising Liverpool that despite some of the stumbling blocks they had hit, they had been able to actually retain a certain sense of craft, and they had been able to grind out the results. We're sitting on top of the table, not runaway leaders, but right there as defending champions. And you had mentioned, I think, that Liverpool have done well so far in terms of the title defense. They've grounded the results out and so on. Since then, things have taken a very dramatic turn, and we'll try to sort of pick out the pieces of how this entire thing has unraveled, where midweek in the Champions League, when Liverpool won a game, my biggest surprise was that Liverpool is still capable of scoring more than one goal in a game. So let's go back to the roots, Vishal. We know the basics. Of course, they were plagued by injuries and certain amount of misfortune as well. We, of course, are acutely also aware that a couple of the key members of that team, including Alisson Becker, just today, have received devastating personal news. But that's one side of things. And of course, you cannot really plan for tragedies or issues of that sort. But there are definitely things that they have missed. And let's go back to the start, and painful as it is, try and pick apart the pieces in terms of how it started going all wrong for Liverpool.
I think we've been calling this off for two seasons now, saying Liverpool's biggest problem is forever going to be the depth of that squad. Last two to three fantastic seasons, and let's be honest, that this team has had close to three great seasons. Like, you're talking about one Champions League loss, one Champions League win, and one Premier League win, and finishing second with 91 points. That is, when you're going to look back, this is going to be three really great seasons for a club. When, even through all of this, the one thing he said is Liverpool are one injury away from, of things falling apart. And you always And my surprise, and I think our surprise through this entire case is the fact that Liverpool didn't see that coming. Like, because to expect your players to be fit, and the same set of players, right? The problem is this, it's the same set of players who's been going for three and a half years. And you can see that this year, right? The sheer fatigue in the likes of Roberts, the sheer fatigue in the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold. You need to remember that Arnold is only a 21-year-old kid. Like, let's put things into perspective. While people are expecting world-class things from him at all times, you need to understand he's still a kid who's still possibly learning and is still bettering his game, but is now tired because he's possibly played, what, 4 years back-to-back-to-back. And similarly with the rest of the team, Van Dijk's freak injury, you can't do anything about that. Joe Gomez's injury. Henderson's tissue injuries. Like, you can see these are not muscle injuries, breaks or fractures. Right? These are tissue injuries, and that tissue injuries are always a mark of strain. And they just do not have the depth to bring into the squad and continue playing at the same level as they want, because every time they take off one of the key players, it's actually a compromise. The pool are either shoring up a game or trying to salvage a situation, but they do not have a player who's coming on who's going to absolutely change the game, right? And that's a troublesome situation to be, especially when you're champions and especially when you're defending the championship in a COVID hit season, which nobody was prepared for, and when you're playing football every second day, injuries is going to happen. And in all honesty, all they need to do is look at Pep Guardiola and how he planned his squad to build up the season. Every player who left only after he already knew who their replacements were, and they already was sure of the fact that they were coming. So one, he made sure depth was there. Two, he strengthened the shortfalls that were there. And Liverpool tried to do that, right? The Klopp definitely knew the weakness still lies in central midfield, and he brought in Thiago. But the support system for Thiago suddenly playing in the central defense, that's Fabio, Firmino and Henderson. What's the point? You cannot make Thiago make a difference if this support system is playing in defense. So that in itself is wrong. And two, I think the secret of always challenging and continuing to be the best is all infusing fresh blood. Right? Fresh blood who can motivate and inspire the rest of the team, and fresh blood who's at the same level as your best players. The front three, you can see. Yeah.
And we have discussed that you cannot really have a dynasty without a proper succession plan. I mean, just before we started recording, we were talking about how Liverpool's last three seasons has been mostly like Infosys at its peak in the early 2000s, when everybody was holding it up as a model of corporate governance. And then it's mostly been Infosys of the late 2000s since then, because things have been falling apart in a house where people thought things could never fall apart. I mean, you talk about the front three and the chemistry of the front three, which was so highly touted and which was held up as a model of behavior. You have an observation on that, Vishal, that they aren't that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the chemistry seems to be completely failing, right? Yeah, like, you can see it. They're suddenly saying, my goal, there's my goal. Let me go and try and get my goal. Sane has... Mane, I mean, sorry, I constantly confuse both of them. Mane has 6 goals this season and about 5 assists. That's not Mane's statistics. What's the striker's name? I can't believe I'm forgetting his name.
There is Firmino and there is Salah.
Yeah, that's Firmino.
Poor Bobby Firmino has been getting the short end of the stick from everybody, because he's been the one on which the latest set of criticism has been focusing on.
He's not been able to play his game. So there's lots missing in the Liverpool team. Like, it's really sad, because it's not how this team is built. And you can't help it, right? And truly the biggest dynasty that English football has seen in recent times is Man United, right? And you can't help but compare, because think about it. Every time there was a team that was aging, Fergie immediately started building depth in that squad. They had a Ronaldo ready by the time of Beckham left, and Giggs was getting old. They had Carrick ready by the time Roy Keane was forced out of the club. They also had Rio Ferdinand and Vidic ready by the time you had the likes of Laurent Blanc and Sam and all of them leaving the club. So there was constantly succession and immediate succession. Right? They were ready to step into the team by the time the players were ready to leave. And that's really how you need to build a club if you're really looking to be on top for a long, long time. Right? Because the minute Trent Alexander-Arnold picked up an injury, there was no back. You had to put James Milner back and back in the position. And credit to the Liverpool players. Like, for playing in every position asked of them, and they're constantly doing it. But that's not the answer. That's no way or shape or form going to be a solution for them, because you need to understand now, let's be clear, United might not be playing the most attractive football, but they have depth, and that's what the squad can achieve. Similarly, Man City are in a different stratosphere altogether. Chelsea are slowly starting to get better. So Liverpool really need to look at this and figure how they want to build the squad, because this squad needs depth, and it needs depth quickly. But in the current financial situation, in the current market situation, you do not know how much money is available for clubs to spend as well. So it's going to be an interesting period for Liverpool the next 2 years to see how they recover from this, because this has been an eye-opener. You do not know how many players are staying back. My money is on either one of the front three leaving, which I think they are also tired, and they also have, I think, peaked at Liverpool. So now they will look for and see the challenges is what I see. I'm looking at you, Salah.
And it does set up an interesting last 2 years for Klopp, in effect, because there would be a middle season where you would imagine he would probably be rebuilding. And then when you look at then moving on to, let's say, the last couple of seasons or the last couple of years on his contract, where he would want to go out possibly on a high, because I also do not see Klopp staying more than two terms.
And I think that's my only question mark ever in my mind about Klopp. That does he have it in him? And I think this is a question mark about most modern managers for me. Do they have it in them to rebuild a club, right? Because it's easy to assemble a club to win, but do you have it in you to rebuild it or handle it in that state of transition? And that's going to be the trick, because you have to maintain a certain level, you have to continue winning and still rebuild while you're at it. So I want to see if Klopp can undertake that project, because I'm mighty impressed with Pep Guardiola, right? Because he stuck it out, he could have easily left, but he seems to be sticking it out and building something special at Manchester City. So that's going to be an interesting challenge for Klopp going forward, because he's going to have to rebuild again, and it's coming. The rebuild for Liverpool is coming, and we'll have to see how he goes about this.
All right. And of course, we will hopefully be around to track all of that, Vishal, because we have made it 8 years. longer than most of the Premier League manager contracts. So our next stop now is Arsene Wenger, and then we'll look at Sir Alex.
Correct.
After that, depending on the state of technology. But we'll of course be also tracking Liverpool through the rest of the season, and naturally Manchester City and Manchester United, two more intriguing stories developing there. And interestingly also, since you mentioned Chelsea, a team that we'll return to a little later on this season, especially since they've had a change in manager and seem to be coming into their own element.
That's going to be fun.
So all of that, and do not forget Jose Watch, wherever he goes.
We don't have to watch him. He'll find his way into our screens.
So we'll put all of that together and under the Soccer Sense meter and the Soccer Sense scope, like we always have been doing. That's all the time we have for this episode of A Tragedy of Liverpudlian Proportions. And speaking of A Tragedy of Liverpudlian Proportions, maybe Vishal, in a future episode, we finally might get around to doing an actual Everton episode. because of the kind of season they've been having, which has been topsy-turvy, but then there has been a lot of fascinating aspects. But like we were discussing, Vishal, that Liverpool's decline, probably there is no other damning indictment as heavy as perhaps the fact that they just didn't seem pushed enough in the Merseyside Derby. And I mean, when that happens, you know that there is... The joy that has gone out of the game, and that's probably holding them back. So all but, that
the unparalleled joy of watching Ancelotti manage is still beautiful. Like, still remains. It's like watching. There's some discipline left in football, so that's still a great, great watch.
So it's only for Don Carlo that we might be doing a special Everton episode at least this season. At some point in time. Meanwhile, you can find us on Twitter at SenSoccer, and you can find us on Audioboom at audioboom.com/channel/soccer/sense. or any other podcast platform that you use, subscribe to us and let us know how we are doing, or rate us and review us so that the podcast can be discovered. Thank you all the listeners who have been sticking with us for these 8 years, and hopefully you are around beyond. In the meantime, this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
Thanks for talking.
See you guys next time.